Hallelujah. Pastor Hagen got a hold of me this morning and asked if I would fill in for him tonight. And of course, you know, there's really no question about it. When he says, can you know, he's like, oh, yeah, well, yeah, whatever. Right. You know, well, let me see here. Let me pray about it. You'll be praying about a few other things if you give that answer. I know that. Like, what's next for me, right? But of course, I had duties, you know, this morning and different things of that sort. But as I got some time, I kept hearing this same word over and over, focus. Focus. And not really to go off of, you know, this is 2020 and you have perfect vision, all that type of stuff. But then I got to thinking about the Lord, as I was doing that, I was like, Lord, you know, and so I just kept getting that word over and over again. And I think I've got something here for us tonight that the Lord wants to get across tonight. And so really the subject is five characteristics of a growing Christian. These are five things that all of us need to have in our life, all right? And so that'll help us. And so I want us to start off in Proverbs chapter 4, if we would please. First thing is focus. You know, focus determines direction. And direction determines destination. And of course, you carry that out, destination determines eternity. But focus determines the direction. What we focus upon, we will eventually get to. And so it's so important that we focus upon the right things. Here in Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 22, very familiar scriptures. Son, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, let them not depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Focus on the word of God. Put it first place. Have you ever noticed this, that when really the way we're designed, man's design, mankind, to really hear something, you have to look at where the sound's coming from. You know, we see people do this, they cup their ear, but that's not really, the best way for us to hear is to look and to focus in that direction, and then we're going to hear properly. I know that one of the things, now I like to watch sports on TV, but it seems like anymore, I don't know who decided that us sitting at home had to hear the crowd sound so loud in the broadcast that you can't sometimes even hear the broadcasters, you know, they're yelling and the crowd is so loud, it's like to Amanda, that's so distracting. She used to hate to watch. I remember the first time we ever went to a St. Louis Cardinal baseball game, she was like, oh, well, this is different. You watch it on TV, it's, you know, but you're there. There's not that much roar unless something happens. But it's totally different, right? You know, I was thinking about, of course, I'm going to embarrass her because yesterday she had her birthday. Hallelujah. And I got to think about, you know, they say the longer the couple's together, the more they start looking like each other. But I'm getting ripped off because she keeps getting better looking and I just keep getting looked at. You know, so, amen. How many men can testify? Now, how many of you wives are believing God we don't start looking? Oh, dear God, I don't want to start looking like that, right? Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Looking, focusing on the word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, there are some things we are to focus upon and give our attention, but number one, it's the word of God. Successful Christian life is one that's based on the word. And in order to live our life based on the word, we have to look at it. We have to focus on it. You've heard said around here, Brother Hagin said it all the time. You hear pastors say that his dad said it all the time, not just in the pulpit, but at home, everywhere. What does the word say about that? What does the word say about it? Because that's where our answer is. Here in 2 Corinthians 3, 18 says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord." Well, part of that is looking at the Word of God in context, but we're just reading this one verse. "Are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." The Word of God has the ability to change us into what it says about us when we focus upon it. When we give it our focus, the Word of God will change us into what we are giving our attention to. Now, over in chapter 4, verse 18, he says this, "While we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For things which are seen are temporal, but things which are not seen are eternal." As a being created in the image of God, we have the ability to see things in the realm of the spirit. We're spiritual beings. We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in this body. But yet there are things that we can't see that are more real than what we can see. And we as a Christian have to learn how to focus on the unseen realm to live in the seen realm. And let what's not seen be a greater influence on us than what is seen naturally. Because that's eternal. The realm of God is eternal. This is all subject to change. I mean, we changed the carpet, right? It got changed. This stone is new. It's changed. It's all subject to change. But God's realm is eternal. And we're supposed to look at that. Now, there was a woman, Mark chapter 5, turn over there. You know this story, most of you. But let's turn there just for, if you got your Bible, just kind of, I like to turn to the scriptures sometimes. It helps me to see it. I enjoy the electronic version, especially, you know, as you travel. And boy, this thing right here, man, I used to carry, if I traveled overseas, I had notebooks and all kinds. This thing right here has reduced my weight load on what I had to pack. Then it's just amazing. All the sermons, any Bible translation, it's right in here. Amen. I remember traveling. I used to travel with a Strong's Concordance. Hardbound, the hard one. You know, Anna Vines. Travel with them, you know. Never read them, never opened them, but I had them with me. I got to thinking, why do I bring these? Mark 5, verse 25, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had heard many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.'" Now, I want you to notice something that happens here. What she heard changed her focus. She's focused upon the physicians. She's focused upon her condition, all right? But now she's out of money, so she's out of options. But she heard something that changed her focus. And then she spoke in relationship to it. She kept on saying, it changed her focus so much that she knew, if I can touch his clothes, I'll be made well. And she focused on that until the opportunity arose, and she wouldn't let anything stop her from getting to what she had focused upon all that time she said that. One place in my, it says she kept on saying. She kept on saying it. "If I can touch his clothes, I'll be made whole." And that, what she heard about Jesus, we're not told what she heard, but what she heard changed her focus. And she quit focusing on the next great remedy. And thank God for doctors, not against doctors. But that wasn't helping her. But she changed her focus. And when she did, she came in the press. And of course, we know the story. She was healed. Amen? Praise the Lord. So focus is so vitally important. Another characteristic that is evident, I would say this, in those who we would say have a successful Christian life and a growing Christian life, is they maintain the right attitude. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. There is so much. There's so many things written on the subject of attitude, but the Word of God talks about, the Word of God in the King James Bible uses the term the spirit of something. You know, not necessarily talking about your spirit or the Holy Spirit, but spirit where it means the attitude. You know, you've heard people say that they got a bad spirit about them. What do they mean? They got a bad attitude, right? Well, here we're told something about that our attitude can be renewed. Look here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. He's been talking about here that we're supposed to put off the old man, which is corrupt. And he said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, that used to bother me when I didn't understand. I don't know why I never looked that word up. Some translations actually use the word attitude now. But I was like, my mind doesn't have a spirit. It used to bother me. I'm like, Paul, what are you talking about? You got me all confused again. But he's talking about the attitude of your mind. Be renewed. Now, the attitude, one definition that helps me is it's the mental approach that you take into the situation. It's what you think or thinking as you go into it, right? Now, any of you, I had the privilege of coaching our golf team when we had a golf team here at Rhema, and attitude's so important in golf. You get guys, and we had a guy that helped us that played professionally and coached professionally, and we were out here at Battle Creek before they remodeled the old. They had a short par 4 over there. It's about 285 yards right along the highway there, and most of those guys could hit the ball. I mean, they could drive the ball in there easily. In fact, a couple of our guys couldn't even use their driver. They'd hit it so far past. So they would hit their 3-wood or even hit an iron down there. I mean, these college kids can hit the ball forever, you know. Of course, they're limber. They're not full gospel yet. So they're still limber. But it was amazing. I could tell you who's going to hit it. Very few of them ever would hit that green for some reason. But as he talked to him, the biggest reason was, instead of looking out there, and this coach told him, your problem is you look out there and you see the trees and you see the bunkers. I look out there and I see opportunity. See, mentally, as they stepped to the tee, instead of focusing, here again, attitude, and having the attitude that helps them to focus and looking at the green where they want to hit the ball, they're worried about hitting it in the trees and they're concerned about hitting it. And you could on that tee hit the ball on the road if you really got into one the wrong way. But they're all concerned about that. And so instead of having a successful hole where they could take advantage of it and maybe make an under par score, you know, which is what your goal is on that hole, they weren't. They were shooting over par on it because of a wrong attitude. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul talked about this same thing as believers. We're to have, you could call it a spirit, but it's also here an attitude. Now we're not talking about having an attitude where you tell them, well, you need to change your attitude. We're talking about the good aspect of it. 2 Corinthians 4:13, we having the same spirit of faith or attitude of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Now, what do we speak? Well, how many know we call things that be not as though they were? Our attitude is going into any situation, I'm going to say whatever God's word says about it, no matter what happens. I'm going to say what God's word says about it. Already going into the situation. I win no matter what comes against me. I'm already on the winning side. I already know that with God, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So no matter what happens, I'm going to beat this. Amen. Right? We're going to win. Amen. Going into the situation. Amen. Amen. Daryl, wave at everybody over here. Daryl, wave. Wave at it. Right here. His grandson played basketball here at Union High School. They went undefeated his senior year, won the state championship. Which for boy, an East Side team, you know, to win a basketball championship is a big deal. Football, win most of them. But he went up to Rogers State, you know. And you watched him play. He wasn't the fastest. He wasn't the tallest. He wasn't, you know, anything. There was people on the floor, more athletic. I mean, all that type of stuff. But he left there the all-time leading scorer, didn't he? At the school. Player of the year in the conference. He was player of the year here in the state of Oklahoma when he was in high school. Why? If you talk to him around him, he had an attitude about him. And he had that scorer's attitude. What does that mean? I may have just missed 10, but number 11's going in. Amen. Amen. Well, we can be the same way. We need to be the same way in our life. We have that attitude. It doesn't matter how many times I've gotten knocked down. I'm getting back up, and I'm going to win this. And I know that ahead of time. I'm not waiting for it to come off. I'm already going into the situation with that attitude. Glory to God. Now, he said there, we believe and also speak. One of the things I think that faith people have had a problem with is that they try to call things to be not as though they were, and they're speaking of that, but they confuse themselves because for whatever reason, and I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, we say things that we don't mean sometimes, and we tell little lies to get out of stuff, and we have a lack of integrity. That's number three. Focus, attitude, integrity. Go to Psalm 15. If we're going to be word people, we have to be people of our word. Amen. You know, when God says something, it's going to happen. And we need to be like him. Now, here in Psalm 15, this whole psalm is about that subject of integrity. King James says it this way, verse 1, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He that backbites not with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor, and whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honors them that fear the Lord. He that swears to his own hurt and changes not. What does that mean? If you said you're going to do it, you do it anyway. No matter what it costs you. Even if the situation changes, you're not looking for a way out. You've got integrity. I know, I don't know why he went, I've heard Pastor talk about it from the platform. He mentioned that an investment came along one time, and he told the person he'd invest. Then he found out some things about it and thought, nobody should invest in this. But he'd already given his word. And he went ahead and gave the guy the money, knowing he'd never see any return on it. Why? It's more important to have integrity than it is to have that money. Amen. And if we're going to live a successful Christian life, we've got to have integrity, even swearing to our own hurt. All right? Because when we do these things, he goes on down and says, you shall never be moved. I like that. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's start in verse 17. Now Paul had written a pretty stern letter. 1 Corinthians is a pretty stern letter. He called them to repent and to do certain things and corrected their way they were doing service. Here he's writing to them. Verse 17, he says, when I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh? That with me there should be a yes, yes, and a no, no. Yea, yea, and nay, nay. But we wouldn't say it that way. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and by Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, under the glory of God by us. Now, I don't know about you, but that speaks to me of integrity right there. Integrity. Paul said, look, we didn't come and say yes, yes, no, no. We weren't giving ourselves a way out. We weren't, it's a lack of integrity to preach that God will do this for you, but won't do it for that, because God's not that way. God's promise is yes for how many people? Everybody. Right? And so Paul said, we didn't handle it. And then how many times did we read about Paul? We don't have the time to look at it. He said, did I do anything to you while I was here? Did I eat anybody's food for naught? Did I rob from anybody while I came here and ministered? No, he said, I worked even with my own hands. Why? Paul had a ministry of integrity. Why? Just because Paul was great? No, because that's how every Christian should be. Have integrity. Amen. All things we can work out. The fourth one is tenacity. Boy, we ought to know something about that around here. I cannot be defeated and I what? I will not what? Quit. We don't have time to quit. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. We don't have time to draw back, as the Bible says. And that is part of having integrity too. Once you have committed to something, you're going to stick with it. But it takes tenacity and it takes courage. Now, these days, you know, in the world system is trying to take courage out of people. Right? It starts off by, first of all, you know, one of the big messages in the world system today is you're a victim somehow. You've been victimized somehow. And so instead of encouraging people to have the courage to live above it and free from it, we teach them, here's what you're going to have to do to deal with it. Take this pill. Amen. Do all these other things instead of having courage. No, we don't need the you don't need to lead the life of a victim. Jesus bore your shame. Amen. Now, it's not that we deny it ever happened to you, but living free from it. Hey, everyone in here has a past. But I thought we were new creatures in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. And it's time that I quit blaming now on my past. Notice I didn't say you. I said I, me. You do what you need to do. I'll do what I need to. But here in Hebrews 10, 38 and 39, but now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We're not going back. We're going to have the tenacity to finish. Now, there's no evidence right now looking at me that could tell you that in eighth grade, I was our school's number one mile runner. You can't tell it now by looking at me. But I was. But let me tell you something about running a mile on a track competitively. Everybody can run one lap. Most people can run two laps. But the third lap, only the tenacious run the third lap. Because you're not, you're halfway, but you got two more to go. And you have to be tenacious to fight. Because then when the bell goes off, or the gun, they shoot the gun off, which if you're not ready for it, scares you so much you run fast. First time, I didn't know they were going to shoot that. I thought this is just a little middle school track meet. They're not going to shoot the gun twice. Came around there, you know, and I was close to the leader, and blam, they shot. Scared me. I passed the guy. I didn't know what else to do. I ran. Because, you know, everybody can get to that place. It takes tenacity. And there was guys that they'd run and they'd quit, and during the third lap, they'd just run off the track. Lacked the tenacity to keep going. Amen. Colossians chapter 1. You know, I like the story. I don't have time to talk about all the particulars, but the one runner who pulled a hamstring and did all kinds of other stuff, he scars all over him. He came hobbling into the stadium after everyone else had finished. And they asked him after, why did you keep going? He said, my country didn't send me here to start, they sent me here to finish. Amen. God didn't send us to start, he sent us to finish. And think about this, if we are in the last days and Jesus is coming back soon, we are the finishers. Amen. And it's going to take tenacity to do it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 said, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue. Now notice that. If. So it's possible not to, but like I said, we got tenacity. We're going to, right? If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you've heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister. That's something else, you know. You're never going to get a plant to grow if you keep digging it up every day. You have to leave it grounded and settled. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 4, this idea of continuing. We're to continue. It is a characteristic. Tenacity is a characteristic, meaning we're not going to quit. We're not going to give up. And when we're dealing with the devil, listen to me, we play till we win. Oh, he may hit the ball every once in a while, but we play till we win. Any of you grew up with that kid? It was his ball, his bat. We played till he hit it where he wanted to hit it. Finally, like, just throw him, let him hit it. You know. 1 Timothy 4, verse 16 says, take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, you shall both save yourself and them that hear you. Listen, people are watching and listening to your life. Don't quit. If you quit, you don't know how many other people you're going to influence to quit. Don't give up. Be tenacious. I don't care what life has thrown your way. I don't care how many times you failed, how many times you've been knocked down, how many times you knocked yourself down. Get back up. Keep going. It's not over yet. 2 Timothy chapter 3. How many of you have had good opportunities to quit? Sometimes, a few times every day, right? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. It takes tenacity to stay with what you have learned. It takes tenacity to settle in and ground yourself and not always to run around after every new thing. It takes tenacity to stick with what you have learned, because what you have learned, and he's talking to him about the Holy Scriptures here. Those things. You don't need, most of us really don't need something new. We need to do what we've known, what we've learned. Get that settled. And then the last characteristic we have time to talk about that you find in successful Christians and growing Christians is humility. Look at James chapter 4. Humility is a characteristic of God. We're going to see where Jesus said that he was meek. He was humble. Now, humility should never, ever be put equal with being weak. Being humble is not being weak. Humility is based on the truth. See, the prideful person believes the lie about themselves. But the humble person believes the truth about themselves. That's why as a Christian, you can be humble and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. As a Christian, you can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Where you get into pride is where you think you can do it. Don't leave off the in Christ part. Amen. It's like the one guy said, he was a known abuser of his wife in his church, denominational church. He was known. Everybody knew it. And he was still, he sang in the choir. He was even rotated on the board every once in a while. When it came up to be his turn, he'd rotate on. And everybody in the church knew he abused his wife. But then he got born again, found out from the Word of God, and started telling everybody he was a new creature in Christ and the righteousness of God in Christ, and they kicked him out of the church. That's a true story. Kicked him out. Because you're full of pride. No. Humility speaks the truth and believes the truth. Now here in James 4, verse 6 says, but God gives more grace. Wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Now the reason that the successful and growing Christian needs humility is because we need more grace as we go along. We need that grace of God in our life. But in the areas of my life that I'm operating in pride concerning, where I think it's me or I'm going to do it, and I'm not leaning on God, I'm not going to God with it, then it automatically puts God in resistance, because God resists the proud and the pride in my life. All right. Verse 10 says, humble yourself. So it's up to me. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. Now, I've heard people say, well, if you don't humble yourself, God will humble you. No, he won't. No, he won't. You have to humble yourself. God would not tell you to humble yourself if he would do it himself. Because listen, God doesn't use evil. Well, God put that sickness on you to humble you. No, he didn't. You're a liar. God doesn't put sickness on people. That's the devil. And don't call him God. Amen. I'm sorry, but that's it. We don't have time to live in lies. Amen. 1 Peter 5. You don't sound very humble there, brother. The humble person doesn't cut the devil any slack. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Sometimes, you know, we'd be better off saying, you know, I don't really know what happened in that situation. I can't tell you. Instead of making something up. Well, you know, you're a minister. You have to know everything. You don't have to. Paul said that he knew in part. I mean, not even Doug Jones knows it all. First Peter 5, verse 5. See, I had to get the attention off me, see, because I called you a liar. I didn't call you a liar, but I called that a lie. Verse 5, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yes, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You know, some people get mad at you when you won't worry. I mean mad. But he says here, that's truly the humble person is the person who knows that I can't take this. I've got to cast this over on the Lord because he cares for me. Now, if I threw Pastor Marvin, if I had a basketball here and I threw it to Pastor Marvin and he caught it, if he's going to have it, I can't go take it or he can't carry it. And so if I'm going to cast my care over in the Lord, I can't go back and keep taking it back. Well, some people say, well, I cast it on the Lord. I wonder how he's going to do that now. How is he going to do it? They start worrying about how the Lord's going to fix it. You were worried, first of all, how you were going to fix it. Now you're trying to worry about how the Lord's going to fix it. No, just humble yourself and say, you know what, God? I'm about to put this over in your hand. I don't know how. In fact, Lord, I don't really care how you do it. But I know this, your word is true, and if you said it, it's going to happen. And so this situation, I know you're going to take care of. Now, when the Lord tells you, now go do this, then you go do it. Right? Amen. Now look at Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11. Jesus here gives us, I believe, one of the keys to his ministry and a key for us. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. That's another way of saying I'm humble. I'm humble. The King James uses the word meek and meekness. And again, I said humility isn't, but think of it this way. Meekness is not weakness. The idea here is like a stallion, a wild stallion who's been trained to ride. Still powerful, not weak at all, but just submitted. Amen, and at peace. He said, you shall find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So to wrap this up, five things, focus, attitude, integrity, tenacity, and humility. Now, if you've been paying attention, you realize if you take the first letter of all those, you end up with the word faith. And that's how we live. The just shall live by faith. But in order to do that, you've got to have focus. You've got to have the right attitude. Focus on the word. Have the right attitude. Have integrity about yourself. Be tenacious and be humble. and then we can live a successful Christian life. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, let's all stand together if you would, please. Amen. Connection team, if you had first time guests, please go take those folks to that place and receive a special gift from Pastor and Mrs. Hagen and the Rhema Bible Church family. Let's give our first time guests a big hand again tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you need prayer, now these things we talked about today, tonight are things that you can't produce these things naturally. You have to be a child of God to have these things. And so if you're not a child of God tonight, I got good news for you. You can be before you leave. Don't leave this place without accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as your Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and I've got good news for you tonight, God raised him from the dead. After he bore mine and your sin, he raised him up from the dead. And Jesus is alive today. He's alive today. Amen? Well, if you believe that in your heart, that's the Bible says that puts you in righteousness or right standing with God. And then just go on and say, I just accept you as my Lord. Meaning, I give my life to you. You're in charge now, Jesus. If you've never done that, you need to do that tonight before you leave. Don't leave this place without that. If you've walked away from God and you're not living the life that God, you know that God wants you to, don't leave tonight without getting taken care of. Amen.